Okay, so for this morning's Samin Halacha, we're going to discuss a Shaila that I mentioned the other night but never got to answer. So it may take a little more than 10 minutes, but I thought it was a very geshmaka Shaila. So on the first Shabbos here in camp, before you guys got here, but at the staff orientation Shabbos, on Friday night, a counselor came over to me and he said that he had arrived late to the Suda Shabbos and he had missed Kiddush and Hamotzi. So no big deal. You can get grape juice from the kitchen. You can say Kiddush and get two challah rolls and say Hamotzi. But the problem is that he is a Sephardi guy and all of the challahs are egg challahs. And as a Sephardi, he's not allowed to say Hamotzi on egg challahs. So he had with him, in one hand, a couple of challah rolls that were egg challahs. And in the other hand, he had sliced bread. He had gone to the kitchen and he asked if he had any real bread that even a Sephardi person could say Hamotzi. And they gave him a loaf of sliced bread. So he wanted to know, what do I do now? How am I Yotzei Lecha Mishnah? So I thought this was a fascinating question and it relates to a number of different sugyos. First of all, Sephardim and egg challah. This is an important thing because if you ever have Sephardic guests at your house, do not be insulted if they come with their own challahs because they're doing that because they have to. Because very often in an Ashkenazi home, we only have egg challahs and they're not allowed to say Hamotzi on that. I had many talmidim over the years. They would come with two pitas or wraps in their pocket and they would take that out for their lecha mishnah, not because they didn't trust our kashrus, but because they didn't trust our brachos. That was the issue. So what is the issue with Sephardim and egg challah? So there are three opinions in Rishonim regarding what the definition of pasaba bekisnin really is. Mm-hmm. Rabbeinu Chananel and the Aruch defined pasaba bekisnin as bread that's baked with a pocket full of honey or sugar or nuts or spices, meaning something that's similar to what we would call a pie or something like that, where there's a filling inside the dough. The second possible shita is the Rambam in the third paragraph of Hilchos Brachos, who defines it as a dough where the dough itself is very sweet. There's a lot of sugar or honey or something added into the dough, what we would call cake. When you eat cake, the dough itself is very sweet. It's not because it has any filling or anything else, but it has to be noticeably sweet. And that's why the many poskim say that the idea of mezonos bread is somewhat of a fallacy, because if it tastes like bread, it's not sweet enough for it to be pasaba bekisnin. So that's why, even if it has apple juice as opposed to water in it, but if the apple juice for whatever reason doesn't make the dough so sweet, then that's not the dominant flavor. At least for Ashkenazim, if that's not the dominant flavor, then it would not be pasaba bekisnin. It would actually still be hamotzi. So that is the shita of the Ramah, that the Ramah holds that it's called a cake when there's a considerable amount of honey or whatever, that to the point that it's become a very sweetened dough. The Mechaber, however, holds that even if it's not so sweet, but there's some sweetener added to the dough, so that's going to be enough to call it pasaba bekisnin. Then the third shita is that about pasaba bekisnin is that of Rav Haigon, where he says that if it's brittle or flaky, like a cracker or something like that, that's pasaba bekisnin. So interestingly, Shulchan Aruch paskins like all three of these shitos. Shulchan Aruch paskins that any of these definitions would be a mezonos and not a hamotzi, and it's a discussion in Achronim why we paskin like all three. Normally when you have a three-way machlokas in halacha, you paskin like one of the shitos. However, the Shulchan Aruch writes that dough baked that's filled with not something sweet, but let's say it's filled with meat or fish or cheese or something like that, that would be hamotzi, because those types of foods are all meal-type foods, and that therefore would make it hamotzi. Maybe tomorrow we'll do a Temen Alach Shir on yesterday's lunch, and whether that was hamotzi or mezonos, because it was dough filled with cheese, but not for now. So now, once you have something that's pasaba bekisnin, so there the halacha is that it's mezonos unless you're kaveya su'uda on it. Once you're kaveya su'uda, so then it becomes hamotzi. But how do we define what's called kaveya su'uda on it? So the Kafachayim writes in Or Chaim Simkuf Samaches, and Rav Vadia writes in Yechavadat Chelek Gimel Simin Yud Beis, that in order to make a hamotzi on pasaba bekisnin, you have to be kaveya su'uda on the pasaba bekisnin alone. You have to eat enough of that cake, of that pie, of that pasaba bekisnin, that itself is going to make up a su'uda. Suda. It's not enough that you have some Passover Baba Kisin and a bunch of other foods that together make up a Suda. You have to have a lot of the Passover Baba Kisin. You have to be Koveya Suda on that itself. And that is the Sephardic Psak, that typically what you need is 4 kibetzim of Passover Baba Kisin, which is estimated to be about 216 grams, which is like a lot. That's a lot of bread. So when I told this fellow, why not just be Koveya Suda on the Egg Challah, and then he said, I'm not eating that much Egg Challah. That's going to be a huge amount of challah to eat. It's 216 grams of challah. Ashkenazim follow the sheet of the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura, who say that no, you don't have to be Koveya Suda on the Passover Bekisin itself. If you're eating meat and you're eating fish and you're eating kugel and you're also having some mizonos, that's cool that you're being Koveya Suda, and therefore you would say a motzi. So you're at a shmorg at a wedding or something, and there's you're at marina because they have the best shmorg. So they and there's meat and there's chicken and there's all this other stuff, and there's and you have a little mizonos, a little piece of cake, a little something. So that's a real shayla. Better stay away from the cake. Use the stomach space on the sushi and the meat and everything else. By having that little piece of cake, if you're Ashkenazi, you're very likely entering into an area where you might have to say hamotzi on that cake, because that itself might be kviya suda, particularly if you're not staying for the main, if you're only there for the shmorg where you're really trying to fill up. So then it really becomes that you're being koveya suda, and for an Ashkenazi person, that all combines to the sheer kviya suda. But again, for a Svardi, it doesn't. For a Svardi, it's only that you're only going to say Amotzi and Passover Baba Kisnin if you have enough of the Passover Baba Kisnin. It happens to be Svardim don't say Hamotzi on matzah throughout the year, on hard matzah. Svardi matzah, yes, but unlike on the matzahs that Ashkenazim use, because one of the definitions of Passover Baba Kisnin is that it's brittle, it cracks, it breaks like a cracker. A matzah is essentially a cracker. In fact, it's a big kasha in Ashkenazim that the poskim discuss why in the world we say Hamotzi on matzah. So the explanation is probably something along the lines of, well, it's our only bread that we can have on Pesach, so we treat it like bread on Pesach. So mele, once we treat it like bread on Pesach, and we say Hamotzi on Pesach, so we treat it like bread throughout the whole rest of the year. Svardim would say Hamotzi on it on Pesach, but not throughout the rest of the year, only on Pesach. Slav Dafka did in Pesach, whenever they're treating it as their main bread. Meaning, for example, like this past year, Achron Shal Pesach was on Shabbos. So let's say you're a Svardi living in Israel. So Shabbos was the day after Pesach, but you don't have any access to any bread. So Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul writes, yeah, you would still say Hamotzi then. If you're a Sephardic person living in Israel, you would still say Hamotzi on the matzah on the day after Pesach, because that's still the only access that you have to the bread. Yalkut Yosef writes that Sephardim can say Hamotzi on matzah throughout the year if they have it as part of a meal, even if they don't have 216 grams of it, because it's something that people normally eat along with meal-type foods, and that's what makes it different than other Passover Baba Kisnin, like pie and cake, which are usually eaten as a dessert type of food. But if it's normally eaten as a meal-type food, then Yalkut Yosef writes, Svarim can say Hamotzi on Matzah. Now this all brings us to Egg Challah. So the Mechaber paskins that the bracha on Egg Challah is Mizonos. The Ramah holds that we say Hamotzi on sweetened bread, but the Mechaber holds that bread baked with sweetening agents like honey or sugar is halachically cake, and it's therefore Mizonos. Now Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul in Or LeTzion recommends to only consume it during a bread meal, just to be choshesh for the suffik of the sheet of the Ramah, but clearly standard Sephardic Psak is that it's Mizonos, that it's not Hamotzi. So if the guy wants to eat 216 grams of Egg Challah, there's no shayla. He could use that for Lechem Mishnah, and he could eat 216 grams of it, and he's fine. But he didn't want to do that. So now what do we do? Now that we know that as a Sephardi person, he can't use, the Egg Challah is, it's like cake. He has 2 loaves of cake in front of him. So what should he do for Lechem Mishnah? So now we have to look at potential leniencies. Is there any potential reason to suggest that the Egg Challah would be good enough for Lechem Mishnah? So the Rabbi Jachter has a collection of potential leniencies in his new Sefer. Rabbi Jachter's newest Sefer called Bridging Traditions is probably his most important work yet, probably his best work yet, which is because it's a sefer only Rabbi Jackson could have written. He wrote a book explaining all the differences in Minhagim between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. Because as you know, Rabbi Jackson is an Ashkenazi Talmud Chacham who's a Rav of a Sfardic shul. The name of the shul is? Sharei Ora, the Sephardic congregation of Tinek. Right, that's what it's actually called. Right, every time he quotes when Rav Amar was at Sharei Ora, the Sephardic congregation of Tinek. I assume he had like some sort of replace, you know, a feature when he was writing the book. But anyway, so Rabbi Jachter suggests three potential tzdadim to be makel that maybe the Sephardi person could make lecha mishnah on the egg chalas. Number one, the Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Ma'aser Paskins, really what it says in the Mishnayos and Ma'aseros, that the halacha is that if you have produce that's tevel, that's not yet, Trumas and Ma'aseros have not been taken from it yet, but it's never been nigmar malachto, you haven't finished the processing of the food yet, so you're allowed to snack from it. You're just not allowed to have an achilas keva from it. But there are a number of things, six things really, that are kova'as, that make it a keva, that will be kovea, that will make it that you're no longer even allowed to snack from it, because the snacking itself will be considered like an achilas keva. One of those things, without going into all the details, but one of those things is Shabbos, that Shabbos is kova'as l'maiser. So even though it's not nigmar malachto, and all you're doing is snacking from it, but by virtue of the fact that it's Shabbos, Shabbos turns every achilas arai into an achilas keva. Shabbos turns an achilas arai into an achilas keva. That's true in Hilchos Maisros. So the question is, maybe we could apply that in other areas of halacha as well. Maybe, even though when you eat a piece of cake and you're not koveh asud on it, because you're not having 216 grams on it, it's not a motzi, but maybe if you're doing it on Shabbos, that's koveh, so that makes it a motzi. So that's wild. Why would we apply that to Shabbos? Based on Rabbi Kiveger and Sima Tafresh Lamatest. Tafresh Lamatest, that's Hilchos Sukkah, exactly. In Tafresh Lamatest, Rabbi Kiveger quotes such a daya of the Shibalei Aleket, that even though an achilas arai is mutter outside of a sukkah, but not on Shabbos. Because an achilas arai outside of a sukkah on Shabbos becomes an achilas keva. Anytime you're eating even an achilas arai on Shabbos, it becomes an achilas keva. So maybe you could say the same thing over here, that you're eating pasaba bekistin by achilas arai, but it's on Shabbos, that's kova'as, that makes it an achilas keva. Problem with this is that we don't pass like that Shibalei Aleket, like that Rabbi Kiveger. It's a din in Maestros, it's not a din in other areas of Halacha, so it's very difficult to say this as a tzad l'hakel. Rabbi Jachter points out that Rav Avadia makes a lot of accommodations for Sfardim eating in Ashkenazi homes, relying on kulas about Bishalakum, right? You know, an Ashkenazi Ashkenazim rely on a non-Jew, on a Jew rather, turning on the fire, even if a non-Jew does all the cooking. For a Sfardi, the Jew has to actually put the food on the fire, so it's a, you know, there are kulas that Ashkenazim have that Sfardim don't have. Rav Avadia says, yeah, but if you're a Sfardi eating an Ashkenazi home, you could be making, like, I remember my first year teaching, my wife was making chicken cutlets, and this was in the old days when we used to fry the chicken cutlets, because that's the way we did it before we discovered how to eat healthily. So my wife was breading all the chicken cutlets and whatever, and she had a help in the kitchen who was just putting them in the frying pan and frying them in the oil. And then it occurred to me right before she finished. It occurred to me that in my shir, I had a boy named Sharbat and Zanjirian and Zarnigian. Zarnigian wasn't that year, but two Salamanzadas and a Jacob, who also happened to have been Sephardi. So we had all these Sephardi boys in the shir. They're not going to be allowed to eat any of this. So it turns out Rav Avadia probably would have been makel and allowed them to eat it. But anyway, we set aside a separate, my wife fried the last few, and we set aside Sephardic chicken cutlets. We didn't make them any spicier or anything. They were just Sephardic chicken cutlets in terms of Bishul Akum. So that was, that's, so Rav Avadia is willing to accommodate a Sephardi, or even for Chalak Beit Yosef. Right? Maybe we could talk about that one day. That Sfardim have extra chumras in terms of Hilchos Treifas. So Rav Avadia is willing to make concessions if it's a Sfardi learning in an Ashkenazi yeshiva or a Sfardi eating in an Ashkenazi home. But for this, absolutely not. For this, Rav Avadia says, no, you bring your own pita, You have to say, you don't know, there's no relying on the egg challah. So that first tzad l'hakel is not great. The second tzad l'hakel is a little bit of a tzad l'hakel, but not much of a kula. And that is that the Rambam holds it's not four kibbetzim that's koveh suda, but three kibbetzim that's koveh suda. So instead of having 216 grams of egg challah for koveh suda, you'd only need 162 grams of egg challah for koveh suda, which is still an unreasonable amount of egg challah to have for a person to want to eat. So maybe Rav Mordechai Eliyahu writes, maybe you can rely on the Rambam if it's a Sephardi eating at a Ashkenazi home. And then Rav Mordechai Eliyahu says, and there are a whole bunch of tzadim l'hakel over here. Maybe we really paskin like one of the other definitions of pasa b'kisnin and not like this definition of sweetened dough. That's one suffix, which is a strange suffix because it's not true. We pass on like all of them. I mean, we assume that they're all giving examples. Then Rav Mordechai Eliyahu says, even if we pass on that sweetened dough is possible, because maybe the Ramah is really right that if it's not so sweet and still tastes like bread, that it's not called possible b'kissin. They should revoke his Sephardi credentials. How can he say maybe the Ramah is right? Right, that's a suffix, that maybe the Ramah is right. So it's hard to imagine that would even be a suffix. And maybe the fact that you eat it as the main bread of the meal makes the Ramotzi. Bottom line is all of Mordechai Eliyahu's fakos are not, don't seem to really move the needle, and that's why Rav Avadia does not accept it. Meaning, the rule is, whenever you want to attach snifim lahaka, I think we may have mentioned this summer, Reisman told me once that he once went to, he didn't tell me, he mentioned in Shir once, that he went to the Minchas Yitzchak to get shimush and had a paskin halacha. So he sat with the Minchas Yitzchak all day, one chalamoid sukkah in his sukkah, as people were coming in and out asking shaylas. And he said he thought he'd get the most fantastic shaylas because Minchas Yitzchak got all the crazy shaylas. And he said that was all just like, milchik spoon and the chicken soup or whatever. Like, it was like standard shaylas. But he said one thing he got from the Minchas Yitzchak is he asked him, when do you attach snifim lahakel? Like, when can you say that there's this possible consideration, that possible consideration, and when can you and when do you say that no, those are rejected opinions, you can't count that as sniff lahakel. If you're a Sephardi, the Rama's a rejected opinion, you don't count that as a sniff lahakel. So Minchas Yitzchak said a yesod, which I think is a yesod in Psak. He said that when you have a primary argument that you really believe in, but you just need a little to build that argument with a little extra confidence, then you can attach sniff and lahakel. You can't just collect, though, a bunch of rejected shittos and say, oh, now I have enough snifim lahakel and I could be makel. Meaning, you have to have a primary argument. You have to have something that you actually believe. So it's hard to imagine that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu believes that maybe we really paskin like one of the other definitions of possible because we're not at this one, or that maybe the Ramah is really right. I mean, that's not. There is a discussion Rav Avadia has how Svardim should view the Ramah. Right? Is the Ramah just like any other posek, or is the Ramah like Dafka rejected, or is the Ramah higher than other poskim but less than Maran Beit Yosef? Right? It's even a question how Ashkenazim should view the Ramah. Rav Shechter often likes to say that the Ramah, it's not that Ashkenazim paskin like the Ramah, it's that the Ramah paskins like Ashkenazim, meaning we have no allegiance to the Ramah. It's that the Ramah just normally recorded what the Maharil said and what the Truma Sedeshin said, what the Minhag Ashkenaz was. So if we know that Minhag Ashkenaz is otherwise, we have no allegiance to the Ramah over the Magen Avraham or otherwise. But anyway, that's a different discussion. So bottom line is, very, very difficult to say that the guy is allowed to make Lecha Mishnah on his egg chalas. So now unless you say that you can make Lecha Mishnah on Pasah B'Kisnin. Now, as a Chumrah, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes, it's a good idea that if you're at a Kiddush and you're being Yotzei Kiddush Makom Suda, so Shmir Shabbos says that Rav Shlomo Zalman used to take two Ragalach and say a Mizonos, because you might as well be Yotzei Lecha Mishnah with your Pasah B'Kisnin also. But when you're actually being Koveh Suda, and you need to say a Motzi, so you're not going to say a Mizonos, you want to say a Motzi. So Lechor, it's very, you can't really do that with Egg Chalas. So then the question is, okay, but he was holding two things. He was holding the Egg Chalas in one hand, he was holding the sliced bread in the other hand. And I realize I'm going way over time over here, but it's a Geshmak HaSugya. So what about the sliced bread? Can you use the sliced bread as Lecha Mishnah? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that if you don't have two whole loaves of bread, use two slices of bread as Lecha Mishnah. The reason is that the requirement to use whole bread is just to demonstrate Kavod Shabbos, that you're using full loaves of bread. but it still actually is Lecha Mishnah, even if it's sliced bread. In fact, there's a fascinating tshuva of the Netziv in Meshiv Davar Simon Chafalev. The Netziv's son asked that he didn't understand why his grandfather, the Netziv's father-in-law, would give two slices of bread to any guest who showed up late to the Shabbos meal. Someone came late, he missed Lecha Mishnah, so the Netziv's father-in-law would always give him two slices of bread and say, here, you could say a motzi on that. And he also asked, can you fulfill your obligation on Lecha Mishnah, sliced bread? Then, if that's the case, if you have only one challah, right, it would make sense that you should just cut it into two pieces and then have your Lecha Mishnah. But the Rama in Hilchos Shalosh Hodos says that ideally you should have Lecha Mishnah. If you only have one challah, okay, that's good too for Shalosh Hodos. What do you mean, if you only have one challah, that's good too? Just cut it in half. If sliced bread works, just cut it in half, and then you'll have two challahs, and then you'll have Lecha Mishnah. Meaning the Netziv's son, he didn't understand. Why did Zaidi give two slices of bread for Lecha Mishnah? And if you want to tell me two slices of bread works, I have a raya that it doesn't, because the Rama says that if you have only one loaf of bread, that you only have one loaf, that you don't have Lecha Mishnah. So the Netziv explains, and unbelievably so, he says, what determines whether something is whole or not is how it was presented to you. Meaning it's not about whether it was baked as a whole loaf of bread. If the first time you saw it in the context of this meal was cut up, so then each slice is considered a whole loaf. Each slice is considered its own piece. The Netziv says that if it was cut into slices before you arrive at the table, then yeah, you could fulfill Lecha Mishnah with two slices. And but if the whole challah was cut in front of you at the table, then the slices can't be used for Lecha Mishnah. So when the Rama says that you should have at least one loaf of bread for Shalosh Hodos, that's if you're at the meal and you have one loaf in front of you. So now it's too late. Now cutting it up is not going to help. The Netziv has a fascinating raya. It's so geschmack when you see how poskim do this. You know, you got to see, where would you study halachas Lecha Mishnah? Shabbos, maybe Gemara Pesachim a little. Netziv says, Baba Kama Ayin Ches. Of course. Why? What does Gemara say in Baba Kama Ayin Ches? The Torah tells us that if you steal an ox and sell it, you have to pay five times the value of the ox. However, the Gemara learns from the word umacharo that you need to sell the entire animal to qualify as tavach umachar. But if you sell an ox and keep some ownership of some part of it, let's say one of the ox's legs for yourself, so you sell the ox and three of its legs, but you keep one for yourself, then you're not chayiv dalet vehei. The Gemara then says, what if you steal and sell a three-legged ox? So at some point before you stole it, its leg fell off. So you stole and sold a three-legged ox. So the Gemara says, then you pay dalet vehei. Well, what's the difference whether I steal and sell a three-legged ox or I steal a four-legged ox and I cut off one of the legs and I sell 3 legs worth of an ox to somebody else? Says in the Tziv, it all depends how it was presented to you initially. That if you got it as a three-legged ox, then to you, that's a mecharo, that's a shalem. So he says the same is true when it comes to loaves of bread. And he says, and that's why, you know, there's machlokes rishonim, how many matzahs you have at the Seder. Do you have 2 matzahs or 3 matzahs? Those rishonim that say you have 2 matzahs, where's your lecha mishnah? Don't you say? He says, yeah, that's why we break the matzah so much earlier, way before we're ready to eat the suda. We break it so much earlier so that by the time it comes time for suda, it's already broken. So therefore, it could still be lecha mishnah. So says the Netziv. It would turn out, according to the Netziv, that you're allowed to use sliced bread for lecha mishnah. So Minchas Yitzchak paskins like this Netziv and says certainly b'shas adchak you could rely on this Netziv. So basically, at the end of the day, what would you tell this Sparta counselor who now has his egg challahs or his sliced bread? L'chora, he can make his lecha mishnah on sliced bread. One more problem though, the sliced bread is paspalter. Because it's bakery bread, right? So it's not Pas Yisrael. And there is a practice on Shabbos, the Raman or Chaim Sin Reish Mem Beis says that there's a minhag to make special challah for Shabbos, and the Mishnah Berurah over there quotes from the Magen Avraham that even those who are makel to eat Pas Palter during the week should refrain from eating Pas Palter on Shabbos, not only for Lecha Mishnah, but also during the meal at all. So factory bread is L'chora Pas Palter. So can you have the sliced bread Bichlal on Shabbos? In fact, one of my great favorite Mara Makomos on this topic is Rabbi David Bashefkin used to write like a top 5 for Mishpacha magazine. It was always a joke thing. Oh, yeah, so you met your uncle, right? So he once did a thing on top 5 Shabbos party snacks. So one of the top five Shabbos party snacks were the Stella Doro, you know which ones, right? The cookies, the Strimal cookies. I was going to say the belly button cookies, but much more appetizing to say Strimal cookies. So the Strimal cookies, and Rabbi Natanel Wiederblank Shlita had his shir on YU write a letter to Mishpacha magazine that you shouldn't have Strimal cookies on Shabbos because that's paspalter. So it may be that it's common practice to have it as a Shabbos party snack, but it's not appropriate to have it as a Shabbos party snack according to this chumrah of the Magen Avraham. So a couple of things. First of all, it's a chumrah and it's not really Meikar Adin. Second of all, Rav Moshe has a kula that's quoted in Masora Journal. It's also quoted by the Rav Yosef Rayim that it could be that factory bread is not even paspalter. Paspalter is where there's a baker in town, and at least you know who the baker is. But when it's a factory, it could be that it's not even an issue of paspalter. So lechora, at the end of the day, the right thing for this counselor to do is to do lecha mishnah on the sliced bread that he had. That's what I told him to do. I hope I was right about that. Anyway, I thought that was a gishmak asugya, so I apologize for taking 25 minutes for the demon alacha. But I thought that was a gishmak. Yeah.
If the bag of sliced bread is clearly like one loaf, but it just slices, then would you have to take that? Wouldn't that be nigger that was really just one loaf, and you would have to take from two different loaves?
I don't know. It seems to say that the case was that his father-in-law sliced the challah.
If it still is the surah of the loaf.
I don't know if that really changes it. I don't know. I hear. Can you send
someone in before you enter the room to slice?
Yes, as the Nitziv says, you should have, if you don't have lechem mishnah, so have your wife cut up the bread in the kitchen, and then when she brings it out to the table, it will be presented to you as lechem mishnah.
Yeah,
that's a good question. Pashtos, I guess, if he's yotze, she's yotze. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe she wasn't slicing it in the context of a sudi yet. It was in the kitchen before she brought it out to the... Right, and it says by the Seder, you're the one that breaks it, but you break the matzah so much earlier that it's not yet in the context of a suda, and that's enough. Okay.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.